From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. Investors are closely watching the reaction on stock exchanges worldwide following the downgrade of U.S. credit ratings last week, and U.S. futures are pointing down. The overseas markets in Asia close marginally lower today, but it's not clear how much investors are reacting to the downgrade and how much other factors are at play. NPR's Paul Brown joins us now. And Paul, what are analysts saying today about what's happening with the worldwide markets?
It's true, Craig, as you said, that markets are dropping overseas. For example, Japan's Nikkei average is down 1.3%, but when you compare that to some other dramatic days, that drop isn't all that large. So the U.S. credit rating downgrade may be partly built into stock prices today because investors have been expecting it. Economist Bill Evans of Westpac Bank tells the Australian Broadcasting Corporation that he thinks the U.S. credit rating is not the main factor pushing markets down overseas today.
I don't think the Chinese, for instance, are going to stop buying U.S. treasuries. The big issue now is Europe.
Evans, Craig, says that Spain and Italy are worrying the finance world at this point. He says Greece and Portugal were considered manageable as their financial situations deteriorated because their economies aren't that large. But he says Spain and Italy are an entirely different proposition.
So what's happening regarding Spain and Italy?
Well, there is some action to help them avoid even bigger problems. For example, the European Central Bank says it's putting in place a bond purchase program to boost Spanish and Italian bonds and help keep interest yields on those bonds low. Also, the G7 industrialized nations are pledging more cooperation to stave off further international economic problems and support stability. Now, some U.S. analysts also think that downgrade may not rattle credit markets too much. Jack Ablin is chief investment officer at Harris Private Bank.
I'm not sure that the credit markets are going to take the news too badly because there's a global glut of savings and very few safe haven opportunities at the moment.
And he also thinks any further drop in U.S. stock prices may present buying opportunities for U.S. investors.
Thanks, Paul. That's NPR's Paul Brown in Washington. U.S. and NATO forces are gathering wreckage at the site in Afghanistan where a U.S. helicopter crashed over the weekend, killing 30 American troops, mostly Navy SEALs. NPR's Amit Shafi reports no one is being allowed into or out of the area around the crash site today.
Local residents say the Afghan army has cordoned off a 2-kilometer area around the crash site as NATO forces are recovering the remains of the downed Chinook helicopter. The helicopter was brought down in Tanguy Valley, a Taliban-dominated area around 60 miles southeast of Kabul. A NATO official reports of a few engagements with insurgents in the area yesterday, but not at the crash site. Meanwhile, NATO officials say one of their helicopters made a hard landing in Paktia province in eastern Afghanistan.
This is NPR News. Polygamous leader Warren Jeffs is set to be sentenced today after being convicted of sexually assaulting two underage girls he had taken as brides. He could get up to life in prison. Jeffs boycotted the previous 2 days of court proceedings in his case. Former U.S. Senator Mark Hatfield of Oregon has died at the age of 89. His political career spanned 5 decades. Chris Lehman of Northwest News Service reports Hatfield differed on some key issues with his Republican colleagues in the Senate.
Hatfield served 30 years in the U.S. Senate, and before that was the youngest person ever elected governor in Oregon. As chair of the Senate Appropriations Committee, Hatfield was popular for steering federal dollars toward his home state. But Hatfield was perhaps best known for his staunch opposition to the Vietnam War. Oregon's other longtime Republican senator, Bob Packwood, says Hatfield's opposition to the war stemmed from his time in the Navy during World War II.
It was very clear that the power and the devastation of World War II seriously affected his thinking.
Hatfield had been in poor health for months. He died Sunday evening in Portland. For NPR News, I'm Chris Lehman in Salem, Oregon.
As the sound of striking Verizon employees walking a picket line outside company offices in New York City, 45,000 Verizon workers in the Northeast are on strike, and the walkout could affect landline operations as well as installation of Verizon's fiber optic service Fios. Verizon spokesman John Bonomo says customers should not experience any disruption in service, though.
Dial tone certainly exists. You pick up the phone and there's dial tone. Internet service goes out automatically. A lot of our network is automated.
I'm Craig Windham, NPR.